Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. All right, let me see your Bibles this morning. We're planning on using them. Amen. We're so glad that you're here. It's good to have your Bible. Hold them up high. Amen. Don't be ashamed that you brought your Bible. Amen. What a blessing. It's good to have our teenagers with us, and we are honored today to have the Chitties with us. Amen. And we're so glad that they were able to be with us and back with us tonight so that we can do that. But this morning, it is our honor to have our missionary, Don Chitty, to be with us, and he is a highly decorated, amen, Marine, but I think he will be a higher decorated missionary when he reaches heaven, amen, and so we're honored to have him. Brother Chitty, you come and preach to us, amen. Amen. How many of you have your Bibles? He's going to tell you to open them. Be ready, amen.
All right, I've born and raised in Florida, but I've been gone so long. Here, if it's 99 degrees today, it's going to cool all the way down to 95 tonight. Where I live, if it's 80 today, it's going to be 40 tonight, year round. It's 40 degrees different in the high desert. So I've been going outside into the sun, doing stuff, and then going into an air-conditioned room, and I'm going to tell you what. Allergies, itchy eyes, so much allergies draining down. I got a sore throat, and I have to cough and do all the things. You pray for me this morning, okay? And I appreciate it. Has anybody here got a wife that when you say something she thinks you shouldn't say, she almost gasps for her? I happen to have a wife like that. And she sits in our choir roughly right here to my left in the back. And when Brother Parson was here, we was talking about all the stuff that we'll be blessed with by the people coming, helping us get things done. And by the way, this gives you an opportunity. If you've never done this before, this gives you an opportunity to win your first Indian to Christ. Amen. So I got up, and I this is where I messed up. Preachers try to be a ha-ha once in a while. And sometimes it don't work. So my wife's sitting back, and I got up, and I was introducing Brother Parson. He's going to come preach for us this morning, and I just want everybody to know he's going to give us 15 vans. And I could hear my wife, I said, maybe I meant 3 15-passenger vans. And she, gave me that, Boy, she gave me that look like, buddy, when I get you home, you're dead. But anyway, I appreciate you letting us be here. You already know this, but God is good. I honestly believe the reason that God uses me is to prove to you he can use anybody. I believe this too. You'd have to know my I had fought a war and was married, had kids before I ever got saved. And a horrible life. Drugs, liquor, and God just saved an old sinner like me. And I thank God that he did. We're going to be this morning in Genesis 45, please. Genesis 45. You already know the story of Joseph. His brothers said, you're just a dreamer. You think you're going to be better than us. And they just didn't like him at all. And they took him out, and they was going to kill him. And his younger brother said, man, let's don't do that. Let's just throw him in a pit and take his coat of many colors and kill a goat and put some blood on it, and we'll just tell Daddy that an animal got him and killed him. And then they sold him into slavery, and he went down to Egypt. You know that part, right? And he get to the point where he exposes himself even to his brothers. And Pharaoh gave him the opportunity to take some wagons and go get his family, his daddy, so that he wouldn't starve to death. In Genesis chapter 45, beginning verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye. Lade your beasts and go yet you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come, and regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 sheaves laden with the corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. And he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you fall not out by the way. And when they went up out of Egypt, came unto the land of Cana, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die. Father, bless the reading of your holy word. Give us something to help us and keep us just on course, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I was born in the panhandle of Florida on the north side, on the Alabama line, in a small community outside this little bitty town called Bonifay, Florida. When I was 12, we moved to a big city called Stark, Florida. Big city, all right? I'm a big city guy. But I was born at home in the 40s. And I know you young people don't know what I'm talking about. There was one doctor in our county, no hospitals. And but anyway, my grandmother helped my mother give birth to me. We were, I don't even know how to say this. What I'm about to tell you, most of you, if not all of you, won't believe this. Back in the 40s and 50s, people walked, even if they had to go 5 or 10 miles somewhere. There was no school buses. You walked from the farm into school, to the school and back home. Or if you went to a grocery store, you would find more mules and wagons than you found cars. Some of you folks are doing this. You're telling your age. Be careful. I had an uncle, his name was Frank Hofford, who was a farmer. He married one of my dad's sisters. We were in town one day, and they were there at the, y'all ready for the name of the grocery stores back in those days? Ready? Jitney Jungle and Piggly Wiggly. And they called it Hoggly Woggly. Okay. And when I saw Uncle Frank over there, I said, I went over because I love riding that wagon. I said, Uncle Frank, can I go home with you guys? Now remember, if you go home with him on the wagon, way out on that farm, guess what you got to do to get back home? And we would get on that wagon, and I loved it. Oh, I loved that wagon. All of us kids would would sit in the back, and we'd giggle and talk. And once in a while, we'd jump out of it. Turn around and run to that wagon again and see who could catch it. Just having a good time. He said right here, now listen to me carefully. He said in verse 24, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you fall not out by the way. You young people's not going to understand this next statement. What he is telling them here is don't fall off the wagon. Are you still with me? Don't fall off the wagon. He's on the wagon. But listen to me carefully. I had an uncle who would, you'd see him walking sometimes too, and he was an old drunk. I mean, people just didn't want to be around him. He was that kind of a person. We were sitting with my dad on the front porch, and you could see him coming in a distance. And my dad said, there comes your uncle. And he was walking as straight as I'd ever seen him walk. He was walking down that side of that dirt road right to our house, just as straight as you can walk. And my dad made a statement. He said, D is on the wagon today. Does anybody in here know what that means? Okay, thank you. A few weeks went by, and here he came again. And for every step he would take forward, he'd take two back. And my dad made this statement. He's off the wagon. He's off the wagon. And I want to relate that to this, being saved. Many of us are getting off the wagon when we should stay on the wagon. Amen. We're to stay on the wagon of grace, God giving you something you don't deserve. We're to stay on the wagon of mercy, God not giving you what you do deserve. Well, listen to me carefully. If you're saved, why don't you act like it? Don't fall off the wagon of your salvation. Listen to me carefully. All of us have lost loved ones. All of us have lost neighbors. And when you live like an unsaved person, and by the way, let me say this to you, Matt, if you want to. A Christian is as capable of doing any sin out there that a lost person can do. Don't fall off the wagon. But by the way, don't fall off the church wagon either. Here's what happens. We quit reading our Bible. I'm just telling you the first step you want to take. I guarantee you, if you've ever been off the wagon, you know I'm telling you the truth. The first thing that we ever do to get off the wagon is we quit reading our Bible and praying every morning. And then before long, we don't show up on Sunday. We don't show up on Wednesday night. And before long, we only come on Sunday mornings when we feel like it. And before long, we're totally off the wagon. Don't fall off the wagon. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't fall off the wagon. Why do people fall off the wagon? Criticism. You teenagers, listen to me carefully. Somebody's going to call you church boy. Church girls, Bible thumpers. Woodheads. You can't think for yourself. Got to let that old King James Bible think for you. Guilty. Amen. Guilty. Amen. But don't get off the wagon of being in church. I travel a lot. I preach out a lot. I'm going to tell you what. You got something special here. Amen. Yesterday, my wife got to see the whole ministry. It took all afternoon. But listen to me. You got something special here. I come from a split home. I didn't have a mama, I had a daddy. And it was tough at times. And you get to the point where you just don't think anybody cares. Nobody loves you. Here you got somebody that loves you. And I'm not talking about just to try to get a church. Well, they love you to Jesus. They want you saved. Amen. When I came out of Vietnam and Marine Corps, I was rude. I'd cuss my wife out. I mean, it was just horrible. That's why you asked her how long you've been married. She said, 56 years and 54 of them have been good. Her testimony is sometimes she would say, we up in North Florida by Camp Blanding is where we grew up in high school. And she would see those Army trucks come by a lot. And see all the cars there on 301 coming up and down. And in her testimony, she says, I just would watch people pass and wonder, is there anybody out there that cares for me? Is there anybody? Listen to me. Don't fall off the wagon of church. Stay in church. Serve God and you go where he comes. Amen. Reasons we fall off the wagon is criticism. People will make fun of us. They will, do you guys do anything other than go to church? I was visiting my wife's family one time, and there was something going on a Sunday morning. And me and her got dressed, and we were going to go to church. And her nephew told me, he said, why would you waste what we're going to do to go to church? I said, why would I waste church to do what you're doing? Amen. Listen carefully. You serve God, you're going to get some criticism. You really are. You can be the greatest preacher in the world. And some people are to love you, say, thank God that old boy can preach. I like to hear him preach. But some fault finder will find fault. If somebody comes to you and talks about your preacher, about the church, about the ministries here, mark it down. They're off the wagon. They're off the wagon. Not only criticism, but carelessness. You can be so careless you don't even realize it happened to you. Isn't it amazing? We got up in the morning. We have time to comb our hair, get dressed, and brush our teeth, and out the door to work or to school. That's all the time. That's what only amount of time we have. So what happens is we get careless. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to be in every church service. You want to read your Bible and pray every day. And when you don't, it won't be long. By you getting careless, you'll be off the wagon. Amen. Another one is this. Watch this carefully. The castaways. You young people, please listen to me. I love you. You don't believe that, but I do. Yeah. Listen, hear me. I'm up in my 70s. And I've been preaching 54 years. I know. I've been saved 54 years, preaching 53 years. Please listen to me. I've seen what happens when people get off the wagon. And most of them never get back on the wagon. But you'll see somebody one of these days that got out of church, got out of the youth department, got out of the Sunday school class. Boy, listen to me carefully. If you've ever heard Dr. Mickey Carter teach Sunday school, he knows more accidentally than I know on purpose. That dude is good. I can sit and listen to him all day. And I love him. But watch me carefully. If we're not careful, we're going to see somebody that got out of church, and that's going to give us an excuse to get out. Instead of praying for them to get back into church and being a good witness in front of them, you go join them. Not very smart. Another reason people fall away is corruption. Corruption. We'll quit soul winning. We'll quit passing out gospel tracts. Your pastor was willing to come out this year to help us start our revival the first week of May. But in April, it was our soul winning month for the whole month. Every day for a month, we had somebody out soul winning, passing out gospel tracts. And at the end of the month, we had given out 1,500 gospel tracts and seen 62 people saved. And then he shows up for the revival, and we had 22 saved during the revival. What am I saying? I'm saying people are going to tell you that it just don't work. That's old-fashioned. It is. It's just about this narrow-minded and about 6,000 years old. Amen. We fall off the wagon because if we don't go soul winning or heresy. I'm telling you, we live in a crazy world. There's people out there that you used to go. We used to go and preach in those churches. We can't go there anymore. They want to be cool dudes the way they're dressed in the pulpit. You should not and never make your church look like a church. You should never have a pulpit. You should have a couple stools up here. And then you got to have some praise band up here. My wife and I went to a church that supports us that we hadn't been to in years. But we were in that community, and you know, we go to church. And we got there, they had some teenagers come up here. This girl in this so-called independent fundamental Baptist church was the song leader with two or three teenagers on each side of her. And when she would do this, her skirt was so short you could see her underwear. How's that bringing honor and glory to God? How's that helping the cause of Christ? Heresy. Be very, very careful. And then this one you're not going to like, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Another reason we fall off the wagon is covetousness. Yeah. Look with me to verse 20. Look at verse 20. Also regard not your what? Your stuff. Everybody wants stuff. You know what? I want stuff. We're in process of remodeling our church, and I want it done. I like somebody to walk in and go, man, that's a beautiful church. I like people to walk in and go, man, those people love you. Lord, they got the right kind of music. They got the right kind of Bible. They got the right kind of standards and convictions. Don't worry about your stuff. And then another reason we get off the wagon, and please help me because this is important. The reason people get off the wagon is because they get hurt. Anyway, listen to me carefully now. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm telling you sometimes it's the preacher's fault. Sometimes it's a Sunday school teacher's fault, a bus worker's fault. Hello? Amen. But we get hurt and we want to get off the wagon and we blame it on someone else. We live in a society today that everybody's a victim. Everybody's a victim. I'm a victim because of my skin color. I'm a victim because of this, and I'm a victim because of that. God wants to bless you. He said, prove me now, see if I'm not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. Amen. One time I was on the back of Uncle Frank's wagon. And we was jump off and jump back on and run. I jumped off the wagon one day and my ankle turned totally sideways. I wanted to cry, but I had too much pride to cry. And I began to do this to try to catch the wagon because they're up there front. They're not even paying attention to that I'm not on the wagon. They know, they're used to kids jumping off and running, catching it. And I hurt so bad, tears was coming to my eyes. And I worked so hard, and I wouldn't quit. I just kept on, and I'd go fast as I could. And I finally caught the wagon, and I jumped on the wagon because the wagon's where you ought to be, not off of it. Sometimes you're going to get hurt by people. I'm going to tell you right now, life's not always fair, but it's always life. There's something will happen in your life that you're going to get hurt. And it's easy to get hurt when you carry your feelings on your sleeve. Yes, you carry your feelings on your shoulder, somebody's going to knock it off. Well, let me say this to you. Sometimes God will knock it off. Amen. Be careful of that. Then let me give you two or three things on why you should stay on the wagon. I told you why we fall off the wagon, but let me tell you why we should stay on the wagon. Number one, you want to stay on the wagon because other people that's on board. You won't believe this. A young, good-looking guy like me, my wife is a great-grandmother. Life ain't fair. I raised nothing but boys right out of the Marine Corps. Roll your eyes at me, give me that teenage look, I'd knock you across the room. I'm talking about meaner than homemade sin. You know what I'm saying? I'd never helped a little girl. I'd never been around a little girl. My first grandchild was a preemie little girl. I could hold her right there. I went from an old tough Marine to a softy in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I've probably told you a story before. Her dad is my youngest son. No, that's not true. It's my wife's son. He's different. And old Larry Don. Woo! And he said, Daddy, if we'd have even thought what you let her get away with, we'd be dead today. And I said, my job with you was to raise you, instill things in you, right and wrong, righteousness, a good character. You know what my job is with her? Love the fire out of her. That's your job, do those other things. Amen. We were building the inside of our church, the one you preached in. And I'd laid all the studs out and all the top plates and the bottom plates. And we were, back in those days, we didn't have nail guns, saws. We had saws and hammers. And I laid that all the way across the room because we had to stand up a wall back there. And I had all the plates laid out, top and bottom plates, all the two befores on a 16-inch center, all laid out. And I realized I didn't have enough nails in my apron, in my nail apron.
So I went across to get more. And when I went across, I laid my hammer down. When I went across, I was doing that. She has picked my, she's just barely big enough to walk. She's picking up the hammer, and she's walking across there to give me my hammer because Papa left it. And she was knocking those boards over everywhere. Her daddy took a hammer and slew it down so hard, it broke the concrete and bounced up. And he looked at his brother, Don Jr., and he said, "What would have happened if we'd have knocked them boards over?" And Don Jr. said, "I wouldn't have knocked them over." You say, what are you saying? I'm saying there's somebody on the wagon with you. You get off, you're going to be a stumbling block. And they want to get off. And I thought that I loved my kids, but then my grandkids came along. And I'm going to tell you what, get mad if you want to. I love my kids, but I got a different kind of love for my grandkids. And if you got grandkids, you know exactly what I'm saying. But wait when you get older than dirt and you get a great-grandchild. A different love comes in. By the way, I've got pictures. I don't want. I pray every day. In October, we'll have our second great-grandchild. And I got one at the end of this month that'll be a year old. The other day, she took her first steps, and they videoed it and sent it to us. I don't want her to be raised outside of church. I don't want her to live for the world and the devil. I'm going to stay on the wagon. I'm going to stay, if for no other reason, for her. We ought to stay on the wagon because of other people that are on board. One more illustration about a wagon. They're up here driving, right? Kids are sitting on the back, and they're jumping off. They get way down here, and they watch the wagon going out, and they get in a line to see who can catch that wagon. And you know what I found out? The further the wagon gets, the harder it is to get back on. Listen to me carefully. It's a little bit of distance away from God, but it's a long way back. We just need to stay on the wagon. Just stay on the wagon. But by the way, and boy, I love this one. You know how we always talk about how good God is? Do you realize God wants to bless you? If your earthly fathers had to give good gifts to your children, how much more did your heavenly father? Good night. I could spend the rest of the day and tell you one thing after another. You come to our place, and some of you are here in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, or whatever it is. What you're going to find out? There's nothing there that my wife and I did. The only way you explain what we have is G-O-D. Amen and amen. Look at verse 21. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons. Have you ever thought about this? Listen to me. Why didn't he give them chariots? They'd be quicker, faster. The chariots wouldn't hold all the blessings. They needed a wagon. Amen. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh. Watch this now. And gave them what? Provisions for the way. You know why you ought to stay on the wagon? That's where the blessings are. That's where the blessings are. The happiest you've ever been, if you're off the wagon, you're not going to agree with what I'm about to say if you're off the wagon. But watch this carefully. The happiest you've ever been was when you got saved and you were in church serving God. It was just a peace that passed understanding. But oh man, it's work. No fun. Did you know God never said it'd be easy? And I see nowhere in there where it's supposed to be fun, but I tell you what, there's joy in serving God. Amen. Listen, happiness, to have happiness, you got to have a happening. Amen. Something's got to happen to make you be happy. But joy is when you and God got a close relationship. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Stay on the wagon. Watch this carefully. Look at verse 28 again. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." You ought to stay on the wagon because the person you're going to see one day. Amen. I like that. I'm going to see Jesus. Going to see Jesus. I'm constantly building something. I'm constantly doing something. I can get on a backhoe and work all day long. I can get on track and work all day long. I can use tools and just do everything all day long. Now, at my age, I can still go 16 hours a day, but I have to take Advil all night. Amen. But I know this. I believe that Jesus is coming back just like he said. Did you know that I know the exact hour Jesus is coming back? Yes, I do. The hour that you think not. You're getting off the wagon because you don't think he's coming that day. Stay on the wagon. Stay on the wagon. He's coming back just like he said. He said, they said, Daddy, he's still alive. And he didn't believe them. Watch me carefully. Stay with me. He didn't believe them until he saw the wagons. Are you listening to me? But when he saw the wagons, he believed. You know what he was saying in that verse? Hallelujah, I see the wagons. Praise God, I see the wagons. We had a young man, a doctor, out in the on the Indian reservation, was out there to help people. But he got this Navajo Indian girl pregnant, and she had this son. We led him to the Lord and put him in our Christian school, and boy, he was just a great guy. When he got to be a teenager, I let him preach, and he was a great athlete. He would stand behind the pulpit, and when he got excited, he'd jump straight up in the air and land with his feet right there. I can't jump that high. He was given an illustration one time when he was preaching. He said, I love riding the bus to church. It didn't bother him how hot or how cold. He wanted to go to church so bad. And we had mission buses. Anybody know what a mission bus is? Raise your hand if you know what that is. That's when churches wear them out and they're no good. They give them to the missionary. I would literally have to leave it parked on the side of a steep hill. I'd have my, and these boys were like this big, Don Jr. and Larry, it was only this big. And I would have Don Jr. get in the bus. And I would say, I'm going to push it over the cliff. And when it starts rolling fast, let that clutch go. I already got it in low gear for you. Just pop the clutch. And I had to crank it that way every time we run the bus route. I taught my youngest son, he had to lay on the hood of the pickup truck and hold a tire so it wouldn't bend my truck when I pushed the bus off the hill. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about hard work. Hard work. We finally got this old bus to run, and we were so late. In his sermon, he said this. He said, I got on top of the house thinking they wasn't coming. But I wanted to get up there so I could see, because I wanted the bus to come today so bad. Oh, please, Lord, let them come. And he began to pray and beg God. When he lost all confidence that the bus was coming, he started to get off the house. And this is his testimony. When he stepped to get off the house, he looked and saw the bus coming. And this is what he said. Hallelujah, I see the bus. You ought to be saying, hallelujah, I see the wagon. I see the wagon of God's grace and God's mercy and of salvation and of church. I see it. I see it. Thank God I see it. Hallelujah, I see the wagon. I'll close with this. We all should get a vision of God's wagon. Are you listening to me? You say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Listen to me carefully. Don't fall off the wagon. Stay on the wagon. And if you ever get a vision of what God wants to do with you and for you, you'd stay on the wagon. Get a vision and stay on the wagon.
Out in our eyes closed this morning, would you stand to your feet with me as musicians make their way here? Maybe you need to make a decision to stay on the wagon this morning. Maybe you need to make a decision to get in the wagon and be saved. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know, we could take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and we'd love to do that. As the musicians begin to play, why don't you step out and come? This is an old-fashioned invitation, and we're inviting you to come down and receive Jesus as your Savior. But maybe you're here, and one of the things that Pastor Chitty spoke about this morning was an issue in your life, something that maybe you fell off the wagon before. Maybe you've been off the wagon, and you need to come back and get back on the wagon. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you to do today, why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to get on that wagon of faith. The preacher already mentioned that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you heard the Word of God preached today. And again, getting on that wagon of faith. The wagon of faith is going to carry us all the way home. But you got to have that first initial time that you accept Jesus Christ. The faith is who we put our faith in. And that day they were putting their faith in Joseph, but we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He came from heaven and died on the cross, paid our sin debt, died and rose again to live forevermore. He's alive. I look forward to riding the wagon home to see Jesus face to face because he's alive. You can trust in him today. If you've never done that, why don't you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here and you are saved, you've been saved recently, but you've never been baptized, you know that you could do that today. You could step out in the first step of obedience to continue your faith. That first leg of that wagon's race in your life is being baptized and joining the church. If you need to do that today, why don't you step out in obedience to God and do that this morning? We'll give you opportunity as Brother Bert sings.
Just